In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. This is one of those gospels today that if you listen to it, one, most likely, if you listened and paid attention to the gospel, you felt very uncomfortable. It made you feel uncomfortable. Last night, the gospel was also very difficult. It's from the Gospel of Matthew, and it was also commands by our Lord from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And after it was read, before we left church, one of the priests told me, thank God I don't have to give the sermon to Mark. And just right now, Abuna wished me good luck in being able to speak about these words. Because these words, the reason why they make us uncomfortable, the reason why it makes us uncomfortable, is because they're not natural. None of the things that we just read are natural. They're not things that are common to what we know growing up in society. You're not going to ever hear something like this in school. You're not going to ever hear this in a conversation in a work setting or in a school setting. This concept of love your neighbor is something that's comfortable for us because it makes sense. But love our enemies, pray for those who use you, spitefully use you, turn the other cheek, these aren't things that are natural to the world. And that's why when we hear this, the first thing that makes us feel is discomfort. We look at this and we think this is, the expectation from God is very high. This is too much. Let alone how the gospel last night ended. Last night's gospel ended after all the commands, says, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And glory be to God forever, amen. Be perfect. And what happens when we hear that statement? When we hear that statement, our initial reaction to the comment of be perfect is, no one's perfect. No one's perfect. I can't reach perfection. Now, in anything that we do, we get excited when we get close to perfection. In some cases, the harder the thing is, the more the expectation drops a little bit. I'll tell you an example. In baseball, there's averages for their batting average. The best baseball player in history, was he hit the ball 40% of the time. In history. 40% of the time. That means 60% of the time he missed it. Same thing in basketball. In basketball, when we look at the best players, the people who are, and we say that they're the most efficient basketball players, when they shoot over 50% from the field or 40% from three, we say that's an all-star. That's so good. That means he's missed 50% or 60% of his shots. So our understanding of perfection isn't something that we're used to. Even in school, we aim for the highest score, hopefully. But then we justify the scores. And even there's curves and there's ways to, there's extra credit. Why? Because perfection is not something that in our mind is attainable. And so that leads to, why is Christ saying this? Why is Christ giving us commands that in our mind is unattainable? And the real reason or the real disconnect here is that, yes, it is unattainable on our own. All of these commands, there's about 9 or 10 commands just in this section. Just in this small section in Luke, 9 or 10 commands. And they are unattainable. But with God, all things are possible. And we know that verse, but truly, with the Holy Spirit, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, He is what makes it possible. Because He is perfection. He is what makes it possible for us to be able to look at our enemies, or those who hate us, or those who curse us, and then respond with, I love you. Even when I said that, it made people uncomfortable. And this shows us that the life of a Christian, a true, true godly life, is an uncomfortable life. Is a life that does not make sense to the world. And now, today, the gospel allows us, or makes us, make a choice. Which standards are we trying to live by? Are we trying to live by the world's standards or God's standards? Because God's standards are different. God's standards are love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek and the other also, offer the other. Give from what you have, even if it's the only thing that you have. St. Athanasius famously said, God became man so we may become God. The only way this makes sense is if we become like him. We imitate him. We copy him. We truly live up to the word Christian. Because what does a Christian mean? Sometimes it's wrongfully or not fully explained correctly. Because we say Christian is a follower of Christ. That's absolutely true. But it's not someone who follows Christ from a distance. It's someone who becomes Christ. In the book of Acts, in Antioch, the word Christian was used the first time when they saw people in Antioch, the disciples and apostles, they saw them acting like Christ. So the people were like, they're like little Christs, like mini-me's of Christ. And that's where the word Christian comes from. It's little Christ. And so if we truly live up to that name, then we act a different way. We don't act like the world tells us to act. Because what does the world say? If somebody attacks you, attack them back. If somebody hits you, hit them back. Even we justify it. I don't want the person to feel like they took advantage of me. Or we even teach our children. Somebody hits you, hit them back. They have to learn. Don't be a pushover. And we teach this. But our Lord says, love your enemies. Okay, somebody does something bad to you. Pray for them. Again, it's very uncomfortable. St. Basil reminds us that that spirit-born love seeks the spiritual well-being of others. So when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't only seek my well-being, I seek the well-being of others. I want what's best for others. Even those who are against me. Even those who are against me. What does perfection mean in the Christian life? The word perfect, like I said, in society is something that we're not used to, we're not comfortable with, doesn't make sense to us. But actually, every time I think of the word perfect when I read this verse, it's one of the rare times, in my opinion, that it makes more sense in the Arabic, where it's the word perfect is kamil or whole. It's not to say that we have to be 100 out of 100, 10 out of 10. That's not what perfection means. Perfection in this case means I am weak, I am not fully whole, but God fills the rest. You look at like a pie chart, there's a missing piece, but God fills what's missing. That's what being filled with the Holy Spirit means. That's how we can reach perfection. St. John Chrysostom says, "Do you wish to be great? Then begin by being little. Do you desire to construct a vast and lofty fabric? Think first about the foundations of humility." In order for us to take this next step, we have to understand that God is the one who makes these standards real. And the closer I get to God, the more I'm capable of doing these things. There was a story that I heard. I'm not sure if it's a real story or not, but it's a very common thing that you always hear, where somebody from the congregation says, "Abuna, I don't want to come to church anymore." Okay, why? What happened? There are so many hypocrites in the church. People do this, people do that. People use language they shouldn't use. I don't feel comfortable in the church. People don't have reverence for the church. People are on their phones. People are talking all the time. People. So Abuna tries to convince this person, don't come for the people. Don't worry about the people. Just come, pray, leave. They're like, "No, Abuna, I don't want to come to church anymore." So she says, "This is the last time I'm going to come in. Thank you, Abuna. Pray for me. I'm not coming to church." So Abuna says, "Okay, give me just one thing before you leave." And he says, "Take this cup of water." He filled it to the top. And he says, "Just before you leave, just can you walk around the church and make sure no water drops?" So the woman looked at him and said, "This is a very strange request, Abuna." He's like, "Just take this filled water cup around the church and just don't drop any water from it. Can you do it?" And the woman took the challenge and said, "Yeah, sure, I can do it." She was confused why Abuna asked that, but she did it. And the church, there was a lot of people in the church that day. So Abuna gave her the filled cup and she walked around. And she came back and she said, "Here you go, Abuna. Thank you. I'm not coming back to church." So Abuna said, "Wait, let me ask you something. Did you notice anybody with their phones out?" And she said, "No." She said, "Did you notice people talking?" She says, "No." "Did you notice if people dressed inappropriately or doing anything wrong?" He said, "No." He's like, "Why didn't you notice those things?" He said, "Because I was focused on the water." And the idea of the story is sometimes we go into this world and we focus on all the things that are bad. And because we see all the things that are bad. And we're upset with all of these things that are bad. But then we lose our focus on what truly matters. If our eyes are on God, then our actions and our life will look different. Our Lord says, Love your enemies. Love your enemies. In order to love, we know that love comes from God. And in order to understand, I have to actually say who my enemies are. I have to point them out in my heart. I have to say, this person hurt me. This person, I cannot forgive. This person did this to me. And when I do that, when I just name it, and I ask God to help me love them, that's when true transformation happens. When we enter into the church, we open up the veil like we always talk about, and that's, we're entering into heaven, right? But something happens, and this is why we encourage everybody to come early. Because there's prayers that are said in the beginning. That these are the prayers that are said throughout the liturgy in a couple of points. That we're praying not only for this bread and this wine to turn to the body and blood of Christ, but that our life gets transformed. That there is a change for me. That I come in here and I am closer to sainthood just by attending. I am holy just by attending. Just by attending. Just by being here. I become more holy. Why? Because there is, God is working in us and transforming us and allowing us to see things differently. When we look at the gospel, we see that Christ dealt with people differently. But what he always saw the good in people. He always found something good. And a perfect example of this is the Samaritan woman. Where there, many of us would go talk to the woman and know her reputation or know whatever and can't find anything good, we might just ignore her. We might just stay away from her because that's not the crowd. And then we justify it. We say, I don't want to hang around bad examples. Instead, Christ found something that she said that was honest and made a big deal out of it. Truly, I say, you are correct. That you've had five husbands. And the one that's with you is not your husband. He found something to elevate her with. In order for us to live to this Christian standard that this gospel has given us, we have to look at the world through the lens of Christ. We have to see the world through a different lens. So that's the number one thing. Secondly, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to admit to our mistakes and our faults. There's no way we can get better without understanding our mistakes. I have to be honest with myself. Honest with myself, honest with God, and honest with my father of confession. There's levels of accountability that God has given us in order for us to put our sins in front of Him, in order for us to become more like Him. So the first thing is being filled with God and seeing the world through the lens of Christ. The second is being honest with myself and my sins and my struggles and my inabilities to do these commands in order for God to help. And lastly, forgiveness. Forgiveness. One of the hardest things in Christianity. But forgiveness requires us to not look at the person, not look at the sin. Not look at what we are forgiven, but to look at who forgives us. It doesn't have to make sense. And I know we always think like, It has to make sense. How can I forgive that person? Abuna, do you know what he did? He did this, 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 and this. How can I forgive them? It's right. Truly, they don't deserve forgiveness. But neither do we. Like, we do this to God all the time, and God forgives us constantly. So when we look to others, we have to always remember God in the situation. Not the situation, not the problem. Not the person who we're forgiving, but the actual, or the actual sin, but God's forgiveness to us. And as he says on the cross, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Make an excuse. As God forgives us, we forgive others. So forgiveness, if we want to be made perfect, forgiveness is really important. And I challenge everybody during this time where we celebrate the Holy Spirit working in our life, that we go after people that have hurt us and forgive them. Go after people who have hurt us and forgive them as we seek forgiveness from our Lord. And I pray that, like we said in the beginning, that these commands don't paralyze us or don't make us feel that uncomfortable. But it's okay that it makes us feel uncomfortable, that it makes us feel like we need God in order to be able to follow these commandments. And glory be to God forever. Amen.